How's everyone doing?
Good. Great. A lot better now.
Thanks. Appetite. Appreciate that. Well, hey, I know some of you guys from ISU, some of you Purdue folks I'm not, don't know as well, but I'm looking forward to getting to know you this summer. Just a little background about myself. I didn't go to a school with a CO. I went to Grace College. And actually, when I was at Grace, I kind of thought I was a big man on campus until Dayton Merrill showed up. And I had to cling to some of these weapons and applications that Kyle just taught us. I spent 3 years at Grace. Prior to that, I spent 2 years at Manchester. And then graduated last May and got married to my wife, Jen, in August. So I'm looking forward to spending the summer together. We'll be down there all summer. And I'm excited to learn from you and learn together. Kyle introduced what I'm going to talk about really well. But a lot of you guys are coming in with all sorts of emotions for the summer. I'm sure we're all really excited. I'm sure there's struggle with self-sufficiency and grappling with we're coming into it with all sorts of things. Some of us are really confident, maybe overconfident. Some of us don't feel sufficient or adequate at all. But wherever you're at on the spectrum, whatever emotions you're feeling, know this: we've asked you to be servant leaders for a reason. There's something about your life, or in your life, or your life in general, that we want to see imitated. And honestly, that should humble us. And a lot of times I think that causes us to be really prideful. But in reality, it should humble us. And I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians 3, 4, and 5 for me. Quentin, would you mind reading that out loud for me? 2 Corinthians 3, 4, and 5.
Yes. And you show that you are a letter from Christ delivered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts, such as the confidence that we have through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God.
Such is the confidence we have through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything that's coming from us, but our sufficiency is that from God. Thanks, Quinn. Interesting. We have nothing. I mean, all our sufficiency comes from God. So God not only chose to save us, but he's chosen to grow us. He's going to choose to use us. And that leads me to our first point. Actually, before that, I want to comment a little bit more on that. Coming into this summer, thinking about God's grace in our life and what all he's done to grow us to the point we're at right now and to create us worthy of imitation somewhat. I mean, I know we're all limited and all flawed and failures to a sense, but we're also saints and we're also image bearers of Christ. And that should humble us. And so the picture we should get really is us laying flat on the floor before God, humbled, grateful, lowly, weak, thankful for what God has done in us, completely and utterly dependent upon him. And that should excite us. That should bring us joy because we get to reflect him this summer. And so my first point is that your life is God's means of using you. Not only this summer, but the rest of your life. And what do I mean by this? I mean by this is this summer you're a model. You're a model. What do we think of when we think of models? Some of you ladies might think of Top Model. I've never seen the show, and my wife tells me about it. Have you got ladies have seen this? Okay. The guys, what do the guys think of when I think of model? Maybe the Under Armour guy? Charlie McKay. Charlie McKay. Charlie, I think Kyle Wallace, sharp looking young guy. So we see models all the time in our culture, don't we? I mean, we see hand models, we see, remember that the retreat, Brett's hand model lady, we see models all the time, we don't even realize we're seeing models. So what are models doing? What are models doing? They're reflecting something, they're representing something. And either the person that's hired them or themselves, they're trying to sell their product, or they're trying to get you to be desirous to buy their product, right? So examples, you know, we see Gap clothing line. These Gap models want you to buy their clothes. We see, you know, the GQs, the Jordan. I don't know. You guys know what I'm talking about. And this is exactly what we're doing this summer. Instead of modeling something like Gap clothing, but we're modeling something infinitely greater, and that being Christ. And we're gonna be wearing Christ's character this summer, modeling Him all the time. And this is the principle that I want you to write down. I know I don't have it in my notes there, but the principle that I want you to get is model His life to reproduce your life. The reason we want to model our life is because these students that are going down this summer, they're learning what it means to walk with God. And so they need a model to follow. Can I have four volunteers to read four different passages for me? Chike, can you get Matthew 4:19? Lucas, can you get 1 Corinthians 11:1? Need two more. Jake and Abby. Jake, Philippians 3:17, and Abby, Philippians 4:9. So as models this summer, our responsibility and privilege is to teach them how to walk with God. They have no starting place, a lot of these students. They need to see it played out, and they need to learn from you what it looks like to walk with God. And so could you... whoever I had read Matthew 4:19, can you read that?
And He said to them, "Follow Me, and I will make you fishers of men."
Yeah, so here we see Jesus saying, "Follow Me." He's using His life as a model to teach His disciples what it means to walk with God. Model His life to reproduce your life. Can we get the 1 Corinthians 11:1?
Be imitators of Me as I am of Christ.
Again, here's Paul, a guy that's following Christ, imitating Christ, and he says, imitate Me as I imitate Christ. Just like you this summer are going to be imitating Christ to these students. Model His life to reproduce your life. Philippians 3:17.
Brothers, join in imitating Me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us.
Keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. So Paul is telling the Philippians, keep your eyes on those who are following Christ. Keep your eyes on Me. Imitate Me. Again, same thing. Model His life to reproduce your life. And then Philippians 4:9.
What you have learned and received and heard and seen in Me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you.
Same thing, not much different. Paul is calling us to follow and imitate, model His life to reproduce your life. So why must we be intentional to model our life this summer? And I'll suggest this, the Bible tells us that it works. And not only that, but you're a product of this, right? Think about the things you guys do today because you've seen either your servant leader last summer or a team leader or someone who led you to Christ or someone who leads you on campus, something you've seen in their life that you do today because of that. Can you guys think of anything? And you can shout it out loud. So, for example.
Oh, I remember one. I find myself at times when I talk to different guys, I would like lean over like Brett and slap their leg. Like, you
know, that's good. I've noticed myself doing that one too.
That's because you like it.
I've watched Melissa experience this with the Lord by writing letters from God to herself, and so I kind of picked it up.
That's awesome.
In a meeting with guys, just asking tough questions and really digging at the heart of a lot of issues.
Does that come from?
Julian's way of walking upright and being disciplined has challenged my life to do the same.
Caring for people just on a deeper level, I learned a lot of that from my wife. I think from Wally, what I learned, just his vision, he was always taking me think further and, you know, think what God can do through my life.
Being able to just love Jesus even amongst the extremely busy schedule.
Seeing Brett challenge me and also others, it makes me want to do that as well with those people that I'm leading.
Yeah.
That's a challenging question.
Learning how to be more concise.
From Brett? How about you ladies?
I can say from Courtney, like, not having a deserving mentality, like, I deserve hell, I don't deserve anything.
Yeah. I think from, like, Tiff, just vulnerability and being honest and transparent.
I think from Mary Leslie, she's always talking about finding answers in Scripture and, like, basing all of your decisions on Scripture.
And also, we were just talking about it, like, come up to you with problems, but saying go meet with God first before, like, you come to me with it, you know, making sure that they deal with that with the Father first.
Yeah. And that was from?
I learned how to pray from Brittany, girl who led me to Christ.
Melissa always makes sure that I understand God's truth. Like, she'll break it down from your experience. She's always like, does that make sense? So I catch myself telling other girls that
now. That's sweet.
Learn how to spark a gospel
conversation. Spark a gospel conversation. What was one back here?
I think from Amanda and Julia, I've just learned that you just do whatever it takes to follow Jesus.
And making observations and thinking for next steps.
I made myself a "What Would Wally Do" bracelet.
Is that because he had a "What Would Brett Do" bracelet?
No, it's because Wally, every time he runs into anybody that is, famous or important, he wants to share the gospel. So every time I see somebody, I think, man, that's kind of Timmy. I get my WWWD bracelet. I get the boldness to go and share.
Any more?
I find that Courtney and Melissa just find the heart issue. Drumming your heart out.
Yeah. That's good. It's a great thing.
I feel like with Julie, journaling her heart, and also how she's made a lot of, like, worship decisions in her life and just how she's meditating on those and reading Scripture to make those decisions.
Man, all sorts of stuff. Where would we be without models, you know? I mean, as funny as that sounds, if we're not seeing people, you know, how people walk out with God, I think where would we be, you know? How many of you had that example and felt like you grew a lot in that specific area over the summer at an OP? Just a show of hands. So a lot of you, probably about 50%, over half, you begin seeing the need to really wear Christ's character this summer. And for me, the personal example that I wanted to share was Charlie was my room leader, or my servant leader, my first summer at OP. And I remember my first week seeing Charlie getting up and going to the crock early in the morning, because Charlie and I slept in the same bed. And so, you know, the bed would always kind of like go up a little bit. And I'd wake up and out goes Charlie. And I started to wonder, because I was at Manchester, a school where I think there may be, I'm sure there were Christians, but I knew probably two of them. And really wasn't a solid walk with God. So for the first time, I started seeing someone really walking out their relationship with God. And so Charlie would get up in the morning, and I was like, where's he going? So some time went by, and I started figuring out, oh, people were going down to the crock, and he's spending time with God. That's cool. So I just kind of let him do it until he asked me. He said, Plum, do you want to go down? I was like, yeah. I didn't really put it together until he asked me. So I went down there, and I remember hearing little conversations. It's important to spend time with God. Great time to do it is in the morning. Men like this in the past did it this way. It's good for my heart. The first thing in the morning is just to spend time with God. And so I started to see how important it was. And then he would teach me oima. So this is how you make observations. This is how you do interpretation. This is how you apply it to your day. And he did it with me. And then as he'd see me do it, he'd encourage me. Hey, Plums, that was really cool. You got up by yourself this morning. I saw you doing that. I like how faithful you've been. I mean, God's really going to use that. And then he helped me reproduce it. Guys like Dayton, guys like at Grace. But I only knew that because I had it shown to me. And thanks to Charlie, I try to do that now. But also, another principle that I want us to realize is that in discipleship, class is always in session. And so what I mean by that is that students are always learning from us. We can't get away from it. I mean, they're going to be in your life all the time, living with you, sleeping next to you, going to work together, and there's really no getting away from it. As much as we probably want to take breaks this summer, we will take breaks mentally and physically, but as far as classes in session, students are always watching us. They're always going to be trying to learn from us, observe what we're doing. Why are they doing it that way? I mean, I'm sure you guys, as much as myself, learned a ton from your servant leader that first summer. You're going to learn a ton from your team leader. Your disciples are going to learn a ton from you just by being in your life and watching you. It kind of sounds creepy a little bit, I guess, but it's true. So model his life to reproduce your life. And I think you have six blanks there. And here's how we're going to model our lives practically. This isn't for me. I had this handed down from Heath, which someone probably handed it down to you. This is a model from Heath. First of all, do it in front of them. And I'm going to just rattle through here, and then we're going to talk about it. Second of all, tell them why. Number three, show them how. Do it with them. Number four, keep them going. And help them reproduce. An example of sharing your faith this summer, right? you can imagine, first e-training, first evangelism training. You and a student go out. You're going to share your faith. They're probably going to be scared to death. They're not going to share their faith the first time, I'm sure. So you're going to do it in front of them, right? So then you're probably along the, you know, along the way, they're in the middle of a conversation, you're probably going to be telling them why it's important. It's important to share your testimony. You know, your testimony is an example of the gospel. So maybe the next conversation, you're gonna show them how. This is what I kind of look for. I look for connecting points to bridge into a spiritual conversation. So you're going to show them how. You're going to kind of teach them the skills, the techniques. And then you're going to do it with them. All right, hey, I'm going to lead you into a conversation, and I'm going to kind of bring your testimony so you can share your testimony. So then they do that. You keep them going. Hey, that was awesome. I really like what you said. I think that was perfect for what that guy was saying. And then fourthly, you're going to help them reproduce. Whether it's this summer or whether it's next semester, you want to teach them in a way that they can reproduce it. And here's what I want to do right now. Just join up with someone next to you or someone from across the room, doesn't matter. But I want to ask you to define why each step is important in just a sentence. So just talk about why is it important to do it in front of them. And then I want to get your feedback as far as why that's important.
Why